There used to be a, I think it was a song, it might have been a commercial or something, but it went, I guess it said, ain't nothing like the real thing. And I think there might have been a commercial about something too, said, ain't nothing but the real thing, baby, or something like that. But anyway, the purpose of this lesson this morning, I kind of changed my lesson because we were talking about Joseph, three are not here that have been here for the other parts of the lessons on Joseph. So I thought I would talk about what is a genuine Christian, even though the Bible really never says genuine Christian, but you get what I'm saying. And the Bible does use the word Christian, but the purpose of this lesson is to lead you in a path, as it says, as we study this morning, of righteousness. And to motivate each and every one of us, including myself, to do God's will. So, have you ever stopped, or have you ever stopped at a store to shop for antiques? I really haven't done that. Or maybe I did, but it was such a long time ago. And since I am an antique myself. But anyway, the problem people have is when they look for antiques, because I've been told this by people, is they have to decide what is actually genuine and what is just a copy. And so a lot of times they might go to somebody who is an expert in antiques and look and tell them to look for a identifying mark to determine whether this is really an antique or not. Millions who are called Christians do not have the marks of a genuine Christian. This lesson we're going to talk about five marks, and there's many more than this, that can determine whether or not you're genuine. And so a genuine Christian is one who loves, of course, Jesus Christ. Too many say they are Christians, and when you look at, I mean, we're not supposed to be judgmental, but it doesn't appear that they really love Jesus Christ. So they say they're Christians without loving Jesus. If you could remove love from the Father and Son, you basically, if you removed love from God the Father and Jesus the Son, you would basically destroy them. Let's look at 1 John the 4th chapter. 1 John the 4th chapter, verse number 8. 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 8. And it says this, and we can go back to verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So God is love, and if we don't love, then we don't have God living in us. And Jesus is love, since Jesus is, of course, one with the Father. In John the 10th chapter, in John the 10th chapter, and verse number 30, in John 10 and verse number 30, it says this, it says, John 10, verse 30. And it says here, I and my Father are one. God is love. Jesus is love. And so in order to be a Christian, a genuine Christian, we don't have really a choice. To be a genuine Christian, we must love. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Paul is writing to the Christians here at Ephesus. Ephesians the 6th chapter and verse number 24. And it tells us here, it says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, in sincerity. Do we truly love our Lord Jesus Christ? He says, grace if you do. In James the first chapter, and verse number 12, it tells us here, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. If we do not love Jesus, we will not receive the crown of life. It's promised only to those who love Jesus. And Jesus said, when asked, which is the greatest commandment, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, in verse number 37, and we should all be familiar with this, but Jesus said this. The Pharisees, it says in verse 34, heard that he had silenced the Sadducees. They gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. And this is how we need to love the Lord God. He doesn't say you shall love the Lord your God with some of your heart and with some of your soul and with some of your mind. And he doesn't say you shall love the Lord your God with most of your heart and most of your soul and most of your mind. But he says, you shall love the Lord your God. And then he says, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Again, showing the importance of love. The second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. We need to, you know, as we think about being genuine, we need to examine our own hearts, and make sure we're loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul. True love solves many problems. Example, if we fail to attend like we should, if we fail to maybe give to others and visit people, it might all be from a lack of love. Let's look at Jesus' teaching in John the 14th chapter, in verses 21 and 23. And it says here, Jesus says, in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we show our love for Jesus by keeping his commandments. If we fail to keep his commandments, then our love is not genuine. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will. It doesn't say here he might or he will keep my word sometimes. He says he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Again, If we think about Peter and Peter's love for Jesus and how Peter said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then how he denied the Lord three times. When Jesus saw Peter again, Jesus actually did not rebuke Peter. He knew how Peter felt. And instead of rebuking Peter, Jesus talked about love. In John, the 21st chapter, verses 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and if you want to know the rest of the story, you have to start in the beginning of chapter 21. He said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, just imagine if you were Peter. How are you feeling now? Like, probably a little bit guilty. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so we show our love for God by doing what Jesus says, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and by feeding Jesus' sheep. That means by telling others about Jesus. And so, a genuine Christian is one who loves Christ. And a genuine Christian is one who obeys Christ. Again, as we just talked about, obedience goes hand in hand with love. Hypocritical to say, I love Jesus, but I don't obey Jesus. I love Jesus. That's what a lot of people say today. I love Jesus, but I'm not going to do what he tells me to do. Some say I'm too busy with my family or with work, or I have too many other interests. And Jesus' response and to that is found in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 37. And it says here, he says here in verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. A lot of people call themselves Christians, but they're hearers only. They believe in Jesus. They hear what Jesus says, but they do not do as he has instructed them. And that could include each and every one of us. Are we doing what Jesus commands us to do? In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is giving a parable about the wise and foolish builders. In Matthew 7, and verse 21 of Matthew 7, Jesus said here, in Matthew 7, verse 21, a very disturbing verse, really. He says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus said. But then he says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Then he says, in verses 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, I think this is talking about the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So he wants to explain that. And he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Notice he doesn't say, he who hears these sayings of mine and believes them. He says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these things of mine. So everybody is hearing what Jesus said. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This shows the importance of obedience. We need to hear what Jesus says, not just the things we want to hear him say. What happened is Jesus said to the apostles, he said to them, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to come and it's going to guide you into all truth and bring to your remembrance all things I have said unto you. And then the Holy Spirit came to the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and the things that they were saying was because the Holy Spirit was in them, teaching them what to say. They then wrote it down. It's revealed to us within God's holy word. So Jesus' words, the sayings of him, are recorded for us. Because the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. They wrote it down. We have it for us here today. And when we hear what Jesus says, it means the things he has said within his word. And we do them. We are being obedient to God. And one that obeys God, that or Christ, is a genuine Christian. A person who does not obey Christ is not. Another thing a genuine Christian is one who serves Christ. Serve, it sounds, again, the same, really, by serving, it sounds like obedience. It's an attitude involved. We are, in reality, no longer, as we study this morning, we're no longer slaves of sin. We're slaves of righteousness. We're slaves of Christ. We must deny self, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse number 24, he says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, because if we are a genuine Christian, we need to desire, it needs to be a desire to follow Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It then goes on, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a profit to man if he has gained the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? You know, I heard, now I'm not positive of this, but back in those days, the Roman ruler, if you did not confess, you know, that he was the Lord and the power, you know, the most powerful one. If you refuse to confess Domitian as, I don't know if it was Lord or what it was, you could be killed. And if you confess Jesus as the Christ, you could be killed. And it makes more sense, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If they wanted to save their life, all they had to do was confess Domitian. But they would lose eternal life. But the ones who were willing to confess Jesus lost their very lives just because of their belief in him. Again, we must, but the important thing, if you come after him, if you desire to follow Jesus, you need to deny self. So we must have a servant attitude. If we look at Paul's letters, just let's look at a few of them. Romans, we're just going to read very quickly. quickly, Romans, the first chapter, verse 1. Paul, bond servant of Jesus Christ. We go to Philippians, as Paul is writing to Christians here. And, you know, it's kind of like the first thing he wants to, reveal to them. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ. Again, if we go to Titus, and there's other places it says the same thing, but in Titus, the first chapter, and verse number 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul lived this principle. Paul was a servant. Let's go back to Philippians. Philippians, the first chapter, and verse number 21. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 21, it says here, for to me, this is why he lived, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The reason for his life was Christ. Philippians, the third chapter, verse number 8, it tells us here, in verse 7 it goes, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And if we look at the example of Jesus, Jesus came to serve. In Philippians 2:7, talking about Jesus, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And we have the example of Jesus serving in John, the 13th chapter. We might as well read a little bit of this in John, the 13th chapter, and verses 12 through 16. And it says here, so when he had washed their feet, they should have been washing his feet. He had spent 3 years with them, and they hadn't learned humility yet. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Again, Jesus came to serve. And Christians, each and every one of us, if we are truly following Christ, one day we want Christ to say to us, well done, my good and faithful what? Servant. We are supposed to be servants. A Christian, a genuine Christian, one who loves, one who obeys, one who serves, and one who shares Jesus Christ. Let's look at the gospel is indeed the good news. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verses 1 through 4, it says here, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. again, the gospel is the good news. Paul said in Romans, the first chapter, verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God that leadeth to salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We must preach the gospel to every living creature. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Let's look at the example in Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts, the 8th chapter, in verses 1 through 4, Stephen had just been stoned. Paul was persecuting the church. It says in verse 1, Saul was consenting to his death. Saul, who later became Paul, of course. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And then it says what they did, the Christians. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. If somebody thought, because I don't think it's right to gamble, so I have to figure out a way of winning without gambling. So imagine somebody hands you a ticket and all of a sudden, you know, it was a lottery, but they just handed you a ticket and it's like, you won $1 million. Guess what? How many people would you share that with? How many people would you tell, "I just won $1 million"? Some people would want to tell everyone. But guess what? The gospel is far greater news than any news that we can ever have. It's the greatest news ever. Jesus died for our sins so that we can go to heaven and spend eternity with God. But how anxious are we to tell other people the good news? The gospel is the good news that we can have eternal life. A genuine Christian is one who shares Christ, and it should be a joyful thing to share Christ with others. And a genuine Christian is one who dies in Christ. A genuine Christian is not a quitter. Even though our bodies, and some of you might not know this yet because your bodies might still be growing stronger, but sooner or later, your bodies are going to grow weaker. And it doesn't matter how much exercise you do, your bodies are going to get weak. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse number 16. It says here, "Knowing that he who was raised up, he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." And verse 16, ay, ay, ay. Christina and Diego know this because when we study, it's like, I can't see the numbers. So verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." This is the verse I wanted to read. "Yet the inward man," that's what we need to see by faith, that we have an inward man, we have a soul. We each have a soul. The inward man is being renewed day by day. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we're again supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And Paul, when he wrote to the brethren at Galatia, in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 9, he says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose hearts." The only way to be blessed, even though we need to love Christ to be a genuine Christian, and we need to obey Him, we need to serve Him, we need to share Him. But the only way to be blessed is also to die in Him. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, in Revelation, the 14th chapter, in verse number 13, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." And so, as people look at antiques and they look for, you know, certain identifying marks to declare whether it is really an antique or just a copy, we need to look at our lives. Are we one who loves Christ with all our heart, mind, and soul? Are we one who is willing to obey Jesus, to serve Jesus, to share Christ with others, and to die in Christ? Are we genuine Christians? We need to apply these principles to our life. Do we pass the test? And that's really the lesson for today, because we need to be thankful for Jesus and the sacrifice He made for us on the cross. And we need to, again, live for Him each day, who is willing to die for us.